Happy Easter, Valley Church. Today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It is one of the most important days ever, and it is certainly the most important holy day that we celebrate as a church family. And while it's not ideal to be talking to a camera, it's what we have, and we can't not talk about the resurrection of Jesus, and so here we are. So let's start by reading Luke's account of the story in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Jesus told us that this was going to happen, and then it did. Today is about remembering and celebrating the resurrection of our King. He actually died, and he actually rose up from the dead, and that is the best news ever. One of the things I love about Easter is that we are celebrating the foundation of our faith. I think about the resurrection as the linchpin of following Jesus. Now, if you didn't know, a linchpin is this small pin that passes through an opening at the end of like an axle to keep a wheel in position, or it will pass through this locking mechanism to keep a trailer attached to a towing hitch, or to keep the towing hitch attached to the vehicle or truck. It is an essential piece of equipment without which a wheel could fall off or a trailer could become unattached to a vehicle. Without a linchpin, things quite literally fall apart. The literal physical resurrection of Jesus is the linchpin of Christianity. Without it, everything falls apart. Now, there are so many things that happen in the story of the scriptures that we read. People have questions about it, people debate about, like, did God really make the world in six literal days? Were Adam and Eve like the first literal actual human beings? Was there an actual flood and an ark that every species of animal was on? Did the Israelites actually walk across the floor of the Red Sea? Those are all amazing stories, and those are great questions that we should ask about how we read the Bible. They bring about good discussions. Theoretically, we could be wrong or literalistic in our understanding of some of the different events in the Bible, but when it comes to the resurrection, it is a different story. This is the one. If the resurrection didn't happen, the world should laugh and we should go home. In the early church, Paul was dealing with an issue regarding the resurrection that came up at the church in the city of Corinth. And he addresses this by starting with the gospel. And so let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Those two words, what I received and passed on, that is the language of oral tradition, like a firm, established oral tradition. This gospel message that Paul's about to relay to us was established very early in the life of the church, which means that the gospel had clarity from the very beginning. And that gospel message is this: that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as to one abnormally born. This is a very early kind of creedal gospel formula. Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel as the early church and the apostles preached it and told it to each other. In verses 9 through 11, Paul establishes that his call to being an apostle was different because he was a persecutor of the church, and then he was arrested, blinded, and converted on his journey to Damascus. But basically, he says, it doesn't matter whether it was me or some other apostle preaching to you, we all preach the same clear gospel to you. Christ died according to the scriptures, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That was the same gospel that they all knew. So then we read the text that I want to get into today, in verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So apparently, despite this clear gospel that was preached to them from the beginning, there were people that were saying there's no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. Most likely they were saying or implying that resurrection really referred to some kind of spiritual promotion where after death your spirit lives on and becomes more divine or something. But this won't fly for Paul or for the gospel or for Christianity. Let's keep reading in verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Paul's thoughts about the resurrection are pretty strong. If there is no bodily resurrection of the dead, then Jesus wasn't raised. And if he wasn't raised, our faith is useless, futile, good for nothing. We are still dead in our sins. Jesus' resurrection was God vindicating him and declaring that the sins of the world that Jesus took on for us are dealt with. And if he didn't rise from the dead, he didn't take care of our sins. In addition to this, without the resurrection, we read in verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Without the resurrection, our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep are just dead. Paul's careful in his letters to use that phrase, asleep, to talk about Christians who have died, because they're not dead. They are awaiting resurrection. But if there is no resurrection, if Jesus wasn't raised, they're just lost. And then he says this gut-punching line in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Our faith system, without the resurrection, crumbles, and we ought to be pitied or mocked if it didn't happen. Paul sees the resurrection of Jesus not just as a bonus or the icing on the cake of the crucifixion, but as completely foundational to this whole thing that we call Christianity. Without the physical resurrection of Jesus, everything crumbles. But then Paul establishes the truth in verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus is called the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is an agricultural metaphor that refers to this first new crop that a farmer would see around the harvest, and it would indicate that the remainder of the crops of the harvest are to come. And one scholar writes about this, in referring to Christ as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, Paul indicates that he understood the resurrection of Christ as an anticipatory promise of the general resurrection of the dead and as a consecrating reality that signaled the devotion of the remainder of those who were to be raised to God. Verse 21, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. In the same way that as Adam's sin is passed on to all humanity and we have that nature to sin, that brings death. The resurrection of Jesus, however, opened the pathway to life. All can have life through Jesus, through this new creation or this resurrection. So that's the first kind of concept, is that the resurrection is foundational. It's kind of the linchpin to Christianity. But also, the resurrection is the beginning of the end of everything that sucks. When Jesus' heart began to beat again, When his eyes opened, that was the start button on the renewal of everything. Think about everything about yourself that's broken. Our inclination to sin, to pride, to anger, to fear, to fight. The resurrection was the initiation of the renewal of you. It initiated the renewal of others. The renewal of every broken thing in our world. It was the beginning to the end of cancer and sickness and viruses. Though those things still plague our world today, the resurrection was the deposit, or like the guarantee, that these things will be made new. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's about resurrection. We share in this resurrected new life that Jesus has. So, Valley Church, as we celebrate Easter today in our homes, remember that we are celebrating the most important foundational truth of Christianity. He is risen. Jesus is alive, and we are celebrating the promise of the renewal of all things. So, my church family, we miss you, we love you, and we want to wish you a happy Easter.